Eloheinu, Melech Ha'olam, Shehakol Yevivu. I was asked to dedicate today's Shir Leiloi Nishmas, the mother, Aleha Shalom, one of the regular attendees here to the Mishle Shir Rus Bas Ramurchai Aleha Shalom. The Yahrzeit is Dalet Iyar this coming Thursday. Beiza Hashem Yisborach. She passed away, unfortunately, at the very young age of 49, but an incredibly accomplished woman who taught, was a nurse, teacher, and was Mosa Nefesh for Torah, supported her husband's learning, and really did a tremendous amount for her family. She's certainly sorely missed by her friends and family members, and the neshama should undergo a tremendous aliyah in Gan Eden Shamayla, Mechayel Achayel Beiza Hashem. On that note, it's quite appropriate that we begin today with Pasuk Vav and Perek Yud Zayin, Ateres Zakenim and Ebonim, Mitaferes Bonim Avosa. Ateres is a Lashon of Atara, the crown of the Zakenim. Who are the Zakenim? Zakenim are the grandparents, Zakenim are the elders. Anyone above the age of 60, we already know the Mishnah Perkeavas, Perkei Mishnah Chafalav Ben Shishim Lezikna. But it doesn't mean old age. The Gemara explained in Maseches Kedushin. Why do we call an old person a zaken? A zakena, it's a contraction of two separate words, zekana. This person acquired, what did they acquire? Wisdom. Zekana chachma explains the Pnei Yeshua. How do you know what they acquired? Maybe it means that they acquired material goods or possessions. Right? So Pnei Yeshua, what other kinyan will everybody in the world be b'shabeach? What possession will everyone agree upon? This is something to extol, this is something to praise. Right, so Pnei Yeshua must be chokhmah, that's wisdom, that's something that everyone agrees upon as a true treasure. So what's a zokay? Put the two words together, zekhane. This person acquired, what did the individual acquire? He acquired wisdom, that's something that comes with experience, that is a zokay. When you get to the age of 60 and above, and this reference, it is a reference to grandparents. What's the true crown of grandparents? B'nei Bonim. Having the grandchildren, not just one generation, but the second generation. And that's the true crowning glory. Not just glory, but the crown. We'll explain Rabbeinu Bachai de Vilna Gaon why the separate terminologies. One time it's the crown, one time it's the glory. We go to the end of the Pasuk, V'tzeferes Bonim Avosam. The glory of children, Avosam, are their parents. So we have to know. The first part of the Pasuk used the word Ateres, the crown. The second part of the Pasuk used Teferes, the glory. What happened to crown? Which one is greater and why the discrepancy? And number two, first we start talking about grandchildren. So the appropriate Hemshech, what should ensue? That the Teferes of the B'nai Bonim are their Zakenim, that it's a reciprocity. It works both ways. If the glory of grandparents or the grandchildren, the crown, why then when it comes to glory, is it the children towards their parents, why not towards the grandparents? Let's start with the Ibn Ezra. Ibn Ezra very often focuses on Pshuto Shemikra, writes the Ibn Ezra, B'nei Bonim, Sheba'avura Mechubodim Azakina Ba'avur Chachmasa. And we know that a grandparent loves to take nachas, to see nachas and what? And the grandchildren, and they receive honor because of what? Because of the chokhmah, the wisdom of the grandchildren. And after all, they tell, where do the grandchildren get it from? It must be, it's in the DNA. It must be, it came from the grandparents. That's what they're saying. They're not just saying that you're someone separate, so we're taking pride because you happen to be my grandson. It happens to be because they're saying there's a piece of us in you. Now let's go to Korach momentarily. How do you understand Korach? How in the world did he rebel against Moshe and Aaron? Ad kedei kach, the Torah was made by Maimon Har Sinai. Torah testified of a gomo chai aminu liolam. The whole world stood and watched as we were at the Piedmont collectively. And receiving the Torah, we saw that Hashem spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu. And Hashem says, v'gomo chai aminu liolam. And yet what? Korach has a rebellion. And what in the world is he thinking? Writes Rashi. Based on the Chazal, the Medrash Tanchuma, Korach b'keachaya. He was brilliant. He was an astute, clever individual. What led him to such a rebellion, to such a merida? Ella must be because he looked into the future and he saw that he was going to produce Shmuel Hanavi. And what do we know about Shmuel Hanavi? Moshe ve'Aaron Mechol Hanav. Ushmuel bekori shemo. So from one perspective, as the Gemara explains in Brachos 32b, we find that Shmuel is equated with Moshe and Aaron. A Moshe and Aaron bechonav on one side of the scale. Ushmuel bekori shemo. So Korach says, if Shmuel is going to be one of my descendants, it must be that I can challenge and rebel against Moshe and Aaron. What in the world is he thinking? Korach, what shaykhus does that have to you? So it's going to be a great, 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 great grandson many generations later, and he's going to be equated with the Moshe Rabbeinu. So what does that say about you? That's your grandchild. Ella, what was Korach saying? If he's going to be someone that comes out of my stock, he's a scion of my wife and myself, it must be, that there's a piece of me in him, that he has my DNA. And where did he get his greatness? It must be the grandson got his greatness from the grandparents. So if Shmuel is equal to Moshe and Aaron, I must have already something in me and my DNA, and that says there's something that I have a mile of that even Moshe and Aaron don't have. And that was his mistake. Interesting that he takes it all out of which pasuk? Out of the fact that Moshe and Aaron b'chol and Abba Shmuel b'kori Shmuel. It works very nicely with the famous part of the Chosem Iloblin. Chosem Iloblin says, let's take a look at the first part of the pasuk. Moshe v'Aaron b'chohanav. What do you mean b'chohanav? In their kohanim? It should be Moshe v'Aaron v'chohanav and their kohanim. What do you mean Moshe and Aaron b'chohanav? Writes the Chosem Iloblin. There's a piece of Moshe and Aaron in every single kohen. Without getting into the DNA gene, and I know they did just find a tribe in South Africa that shares the kohen gene. It's a big question. 10 lost tribes or not, but either way, there's a piece of Aaron, a coin that's in every one of the descendants. Notice the diuk in the pasuk. It's not Moshe v'Aaron v'chohanav in their kohanim. It's Moshe v'Aaron b'chohanav. They're in their kohanim. There's a piece of the ancestors in the children. And that's the beginning of the pasuk. Korach says, there's Shmuel who's b'kori Shemo. Likewise, there's a piece of me and Shmuel. If Shmuel's going to be on par with the Moshe and Aaron, by definition, it must be that there's something in me that already is equal to Moshe and Aaron, and therefore I could challenge them. And the Rabban even writes that Aaron the Kohen said, yes, Korach is greater than I am. But it comes down to what? It comes down to Hashem deciding who is going to have which job. And if Hashem picks Aaron HaKohen, then Hashem picks Aaron HaKohen. The same way Shmuel Birnbaum writes, why did Bezalel need to be announced to the world? It's a fascinating pasuk. The only time ever in Tanakh that it appears, Hashem holds him up high and says, Re'u, Karasi Yosef B'Shem, Bezalel ben Chur ben Uri ben Chur Lamat Yehuda and Parshas Vayakel. Hashem Kilo holds him up and introduces Bezalel to the world and says, everybody, look, I have a person, I called him out and his name is Bezalel. Why did Hashem have to do that? Explains the Mirash Hashiva Shmuel Birnbaum. Because Bezalel, then we know from Chazal, was only 13 years of age. If you're 13 years old, then remember this is a door of the door Hadea, the door Mekabli Torah. You have geniuses, you have Nesim, you have Choshev Gedolim, Tamidei Chachamim, etc. Comes along a 13-year-old boy. Okay, everyone, we all want to participate in the Mishkan. We have our Nesim, we have our Gedolei Ador. Who's going to be at the forefront? Who's going to be the one spearheading the Benias HaMishkan? And this young 13-year-old boy. Now, granted, he wasn't a little kid who just had a bar mitzvah. 13 years old is far different than it was today, just like Rivka at the age of 3, and so many other cases like that. But in the end of the day, he's still only 13. How much Torah did he have at 13 years old? Explain to Shmuel Birnbaum, that's why God needed to hold him up and say, I don't want anyone looking and saying, what do you mean? But I'm smarter than he is, and I have more wisdom than he does. You know what makes him special? I called him out because this is his tafkid. This is why his neshama was born into the world, and everyone has a tafkid, and this is Bezalel's tafkid. You're right, he's only 13 years of age, but this is his job, to be at the forefront, to be at the helm of building the Mishkan. And he's going to get the Chochmah Bina Das, and nobody else is going to get it. Because this is his job, and if this is his job, he's going to get to see out the Shemai. In the end of the day, that's what it's all about. Who's going to be the Gol Hador? Who's going to be the Melech? Who's going to be Rosh Hashiva? In the end of the day, you look around sometimes, and you wonder, why is this person Rosh Hashiva? What do you mean? And this, we know a person who's smarter than he is. We know a person who's better than he is. How come this yeshiva was matzliach, and this yeshiva was now matzliach? In the end of the day, what does it come down to? It comes down to see out the Shemai. The trick is, how do you get that see out the Shemai? But it's all Siyata Deshmaya. It's a famous Maisa years ago in Europe. Second Bava Rebbe. He became the Bava Rebbe already in Europe. And remember, he had tens of thousands of followers. Since a true Maisa I heard years ago, that he had a Charusa when he was learning in Yeshiva. And his Charusa was a tremendous Eloi. He was even smarter than the Bava Rebbe. a tremendous Igloyim. They were both, of course, big Masmidim. And this Chavrusa went on to become Rav of a shtetl, a small little shtetl in Europe. And meanwhile, this Chavrusa went on to become the illustrious, renowned Bava. Now, granted, he had a head start. His father was the previous Bava Rebbe. And at the end of the day, you still have to be worthy. Otherwise, it's not going to take off and you're not going to get Siyat and Shemaya. And the second Bava Rebbe has tens of thousands of followers. And his Chavrusa, with whom he learned years in Yeshiva, who was smarter than he was, a bigger Eloi than he was a brilliant person. And the Bava Rebbe was smart, but he wasn't the genius that his Chavrusa was. And one time, his Chavrusa said, I gotta know what's going on. So the Bava Rebbe was one time coming through Europe, making a lot of stops at different tachanot, different train stops. And many of the followers and non-followers of the Hasidim, everyone came out to greet the renowned Bava Rebbe. So this Chavrusa Yaakov, he figures, you know what? My Chavrusa is so many years in yeshiva days. He's now coming into town. I'm going to go and greet him. So Yaakov comes and he joins the throngs, the masses of people. And the Bava Rebbe sees from a distance. It's Chavrusa Yaakov. So Yaakov comes forward. And Yaakov has a few minutes alone with the Bava Rebbe. He says, Rebbe. He says, come on, you are my friend. You are my Chavr. He says, tell me, what's pshat? He says, all these years I'm wondering, we learned together so many years in yeshiva. And you know that I'm a bigger Eloi than you are. And you know that I knew Masechtas even better than you did. And you went on to become an illustrious Rebbe. You got 10,000 of me. I got 30, 40 people in my little shtot and my little shtiebel in Europe. He says, what's going on? He, above a rebbe, looks at me and he says, Yaakov, I'll tell you. He says, all these years, you were a rebbe and you were looking and saying, Ribbono Shel Olam, I don't understand. The Bava Rebbe, my Chavrusa, he has all these millions of followers, and what did I get? I should have gotten something much bigger. He says, but me, all these years, I was saying, Rebbe Hashem, why did you give me all these followers? You should have given it to Yaakov. You should have given it to Yaakov. Yaakov is smarter than I am. All these years, I was saying, why did it come to me? It should have come to you. I went, although these years, Yaakov, you were saying, it should have come to me. It shouldn't have come to him. And that's the difference. You get the Siyata Deshmaya, it's got to be built on the Midos. In the end of the day, it's all about Siyata Deshmaya. As Hashem says, you're going to be jealous of Bezalel. You're going to wonder, why should I listen to this 13-year-old? Because this is his tafkid. And this is his mission. This is his job in this world. A famous Maisa, where somebody came, a Talmud or a Baruch Ber Leibowitz, came to Moshe Feinstein. And he asked Moshe Feinstein a question in Pikuach Nefashos. And Moshe Feinstein gave him an answer right on the spot. All of a sudden he said, how can you give me an answer on the spot? I gave you such a serious shiloh. And he started screaming at Moshe Feinstein, how can you give me a psak? It's such a difficult, severe shiloh. He says, my Rebbe, Rabbarach Ber, he would have spent 3 days working on this shiloh. And you had the audacity to answer right away. He says to Moshe, the posa gador. And so Moshe smiles at him and he says, look. He says, Rabbarach Ber, he says, who Lamdan Yosar Golami Mani? He's a bigger Lamdan than I am. A Baruch Ber, the Talmud of Rav Chaim Salvechik, Rav Chaim Brisker. He says, but in the end of the day, he says, he was Rosh Hashiva, he was a Lamdan. And I'm a Posek. And I have the Siyata Deshmaya to Paskin for the door. And what was he saying? He's saying, in certain respects, Baruch Ber is greater than I am. But Hashem gave Moshe Feinstein the Siyata Deshmaya to Paskin Shilas, to have the clarity, to have that Siyata Deshmaya, and you'll never go wrong listening to our Moshe Feinstein. You know, they asked him, Ramosha. He was one time interviewed, and he was asked, how did you become the Posek Ador? He says, I don't know. He says, somebody came and asked me a question once. I gave them a good answer. They liked it. They told their friend. He came and asked me a question. They liked it. The next thing you know, thousands of people all over the world were asking me questions, and they liked the answers that I gave them. They say that Rabbi Yoshev revered Ramosha Feinstein. And they say that his reverence went up tenfold, because all the biggest shilas in the world, the most chomer dikinyan, the most severe, stringent topics, were always sent to Ramosha. And after Ramosha's demise, then where did the shilas go to? They all now flooded, they inundated the desk of Rabbi Yoshev. So Rabbi Yoshev knew about Ramosha Feinstein. He read the Sfarim, and he knew about the Galus of Ramosha. But only after Ramosha's Petira did he fully chop, did he fully seize the greatness of Ramosha was. Because when Ramosha passed away, he now started getting thousands and thousands of shilas from all over the world. Now as the Posek Ador, now they made it to his desk. But again, it's all about the Siyata Deshmaya. That's what it comes down to, as Shmuel Birnbaum says. And that's where you can have people who seemingly are smarter in the end of the day. Who becomes Rosh Hashiva? Who becomes the Rav? Who becomes the Chassidish Rebbe? It all comes down to Siyata Deshmaya. So, Atera Zekeinah B'nei Bonim, the true crowning glory of the Zekeinah B'nei Bonim. So perhaps the Ibn Ezra is focusing on Chochmah, because as we said, the choice terminology of Zekeinim is a reference to not stam old with age, it's old with experience, with wisdom. That is a zoking, that's zekon chachma. So what is the zekon chachma going to take pride in? And his or her grandchildren and the wisdom. And why are they taking pride? Because they're saying, that's me. And they see Moshe Ma'arim, Machonav, excuse me, they see a piece of them in that grandchild, and that's what makes them happy. That's what gives them the crowning glory. But we continue on with Teferes Banim Avosa. What is the glory for the children? That is Avosa. And Avos HaChachamim, the Ibn Ezra continues, it's the wisdom of the parents. That's the Mahalech of the Ibn Ezra. But let's take a look at Rashi. Nothing about wisdom like Ibn Ezra. Rashi turns the spotlight on what? When they see the grandchildren going on the Derech Yeshara, going on the Derech HaTov V'Yashar, they're going on the true upright path, that's it. That gives them nachas. That means they did something right. They did something right with their chinuch. V'Teferes Banim Avosa. G'shal Voseim Tzadikim, he Teferes Abanim. And when the children see that our parents are tzaddikim, that's going to give a glory and a splendor to the children themselves. This pasuk, not coincidentally, is cited by the Medrash Rabbah at the beginning of Parshas Toldos. How do we start Parshas Toldos? Eile Toldos Yitzchak ben Avram, Avram Holodus Yitzchak. So we pointed this out a number of times in the past. We have another parsha that begins Toldos. Eile Toldos Noach, and yet it's not called Toldos. And the names of the parshios sum up the gist. What lies at the core, at the essence of the parsha? It's something Rav Tzedek HaKohen writes in the Sefer Rasisei Lailo. Names of the parshios highlight the essence. And notice we had Eila Todos Noach, and it was called Noach, was not called Todos. And yet Parshas Todos, the parsha of offspring, commences Eila Todos Yitzchak ben Avram, Avram Holodus Yitzchak, writes the Medrash Rabbah. This is the pasuk at Teres Zakenim and Ebonim. It differs one of us. Why? Because Yitzchak followed soon. Yitzchak followed in the illustrious path of his father Avram. And that's why the parsha is the Todos of Yitzchak, the son of Avram. Avram Holodus Yitzchak. Seems to be repetitive. Very superfluous over here. These are the Todos of Yitzchak, the son of Avram. By the way, Avram gave birth to Yitzchak. So of course, there are many different opinions in the Mefarshit. But the Medrash understands, what's the idea? The Todos of Yitzchak is that he was the son of Avram. He was able to continue that illustrious lineage of his father Avram. Avram Holodus Yitzchak. He took pride, excuse me, that he produced a Yitzchak, and Yitzchak took pride that he was the son of Avram. And that's what's going to happen when Eliyahu Navi comes. What was the Haftorah for Shamsa Godol? Perach Gimel, Pasuk of Dalet, Veheshed Leivomos Albonim, Leivonim Alavosim, is to return the children to the glory of the parents and the parents to the glory of the children, to unite everyone in Klal Yisrael, starting with the filial bond, with the tight family ties. And that's that Teres Zakenim and Ebonim. And that's the idea of the Todos of Yitzchak ben Avram, Avram Holodus Yitzchak. But adds Rav Moshe Wolfson in his Emunas Yitzchak Parshas Todos. You know another reason why this Parsha B'davka is called Todos? Avram already produced Yitzchak. That was already back in Parshas Vayera. Beginning of Vayera, he's sitting outside the tent. He gets the Besur, he gets the good news, and he gives birth, he and Sarah give birth to Yitzchak already in Vayera. We have to wait, not even the in Vayera. We have to wait through Chayas Sarah, only when we get to Todos. Oh, by the way, Yitzchak was the son of... Oh, what's going on here? Explains to Moshe Wolfson. And the Gemara says above him, Metziah, and Daf Pehe Yaman Alf. Lo Yemush, HaTor Mepicha, Mepi Zarach, Mepi Zer Zarach, and Allah. And you know when Torah is going to stay, when Yiddishkeit is guaranteed, is secure in your family forever? When the grandparents has Yiddishkeit, the children and the grandchildren. When you have, as the Pesuk says in Koheles, Pagdala Pesuk Yudbeis, Chut HaMeshulosh Lo B'mheira Yenatek. When you have the three-linked chain, that's what secures, that's what guarantees that you can have the Yiddishkeit forever. So you need the grandparent, the child, and the grandson. And Vayero, we at home, we had Avram and Yitzchak, we didn't have Yaakov. Chai Yisar, Avram and Yitzchak, we didn't have the birth of Yaakov. When was Yaakov born? At the outset of Parshas Toldos. Which Parsha is it guaranteed to have Toldos offspring that will follow and give Nachas to Avram? Only when Avram sees a grandson who's following in his path, and that's Yaakov's birth at the outset of Parshas Toldos. Only then do we encounter, do we witness a Parsha that's named Toldos, because now we have the Chut HaMeshulosh L'mheira Yenatek, we have Avram, the grandfather, Yitzchak, the son, and Yaakov, the grandson, and they're all alive simultaneously. When in Parshas Toldos, that's the Parsha of Toldos, that's the Parsha that guarantees Toldos, and that's when the grandparent really has Nachas, when they see the continuity of the Yiddishkeit, and that's why, what's the Ateres, what's the crown? When does the grandparent put on the crown? Now when they have a child, That might be glory, splendor, but they only put on the crown when they have B'nai Bonim, when they have the grandchildren. And that's why we said that's a cure. What is the symbol of continuity in this world? A stone. A stone never decomposes, never decays. We go to a matseva, to a basic chorus, we place a stone to show there's a sense of perpetuity, a sense of hemshechiyut. This person will go on forever. We have a matseva that perpetuates the memory, and we add to that matseva by putting on a stone. A stone never withers. The Torah is here forever. What is the Torah written on? Writes the Maral, Luchos Ha'Eved, and it's engraved, embedded into the core essence of the stone. A stone doesn't wither, doesn't decay one iota, and that is the Torah that stays around forever. And of course, we mentioned many Hasidus as far as Evan is Av Ben Anecher Ein Bas Nechdod. That's continuity. That's the three generations, and that's the Hemshah. Yes.
So when does the three generations start? We're talking about Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Those have three generations, but in our times,
right?
When does it start? Can you say that it started? It doesn't always follow that way.
So again, we have to know there are some swarm that explain. It can't just be that the grandparent was from, you're right, case in America, a grandparent was from, a son was from. So many swarms say it has to be that they actually learned together. The Satam Rebbe's father, the Yitzhak Levites, that's not enough that the people were from. It's that they have to be learning Torah, and you really have to learn together. The three generations sit down to learn together. That's why the Samara's father said, the one time, his grandfather called him and the Satam Rav to a table, and they sat and they learned together. And he says, Rebbe, why do we have to learn together? He says, because his understanding was, you only guarantee it's going to be in the family if the three of them learn together. If the grandparents and the son and the grandson, they're all learning together, and that's what's going to perpetuate that Todos. But that's the real Todos, and that's the Todos Yitzhak ben Avram, Avram Ahor is Yitzhak, and then we go into Yitzchak being molded Yaakov. That's the parsha that's called Todos, and that's Ater Zekenim ben Ebonim, and that's the Gemara in Yevamos that ben Ebonim, Harei and Kavonim, Legabe, regarding so many halachas, we consider grandchildren like children. That's when there is a Hemshech, when you have that sense of continuity of the parent to the son of the grandchildren, which I should just point out. Rabbi Yechiel Machostern writes in the Sefer Nishmas Kol Chai, and the animal kingdom, we know there's also a concept of parents and children. Parshas Ki Seitzei, Shaluach HaKein, Shaleach HaShalach HaSeim, V'Asavonim Tikach Loch. And we know the Rambam writes, in Mor Nebuchim, Chela Gibbol, Perk Vem Ches, it's about Rachmanus. Hashem says, I want you to have Rachmanus on my creatures. You want scrambled eggs for breakfast, make sure to send away the mother's bird before you take the eggs. Rachmanus. Why don't we have Rachmanus on the grandchildren? And what about if you see a grandmother bird sitting on the nest and guarding its grandchildren? What about Osav Yesbeno? Lo Sishchetu B'yomechan, a Parsha Semari, now let us shut the cow and its calf on the same day. And it has to do again with psychological Rachmanis. You don't want to, in fact, even in the slaughterhouses, Temple Grandin, the autistic woman, wrote a 2005 National New York Times, the national bestseller called Animals in Translation. She has designed or been involved in designing over one third of the slaughterhouses in North America. A brilliant woman, autistic, who has designed a lot of, been involved in the shechita houses of a lot of the organizations that we have today. And one common theory is whenever you're shuffling money, you never want other animals to be right around. Even when they design the different belts where animals are going, there's a psychological aspect to not having the cows see the other cows getting killed. So really this is an idea mentioned by the Ibn Ezra and the Rambam, that you don't shuff the mother cow and its calf in the same day. What about a grandson? Doesn't apply. Why? Because in the animal kingdom, interestingly enough, there's no connection to grandchildren. There's no concept of a Bubby and a Zadie in the animal kingdom. There's no Sam and Samka, let's go out to the park today. They have relationships with their children, and it ends right there, Vizil. This is something unique to Homo sapiens. Only human beings have this concept of grandparents, and that's the B'nai Bonim, that's the Ateris, that's the true crown. When do they put on the crown? When they see themselves now manifesting in their chokhmah of their grandchildren, all like Rashi learns, or chokhmah d'arach tovah, they're going on the right path, and that's why first to make it very clear, when is it a crowning glory? Only when they're osin maseh v'asein b'yadayim, when they follow in the path of the parents, but it's the fact that the grandparents see themselves in the grandchildren, and that's what gives them the greatest nachas, that's what perpetuates their memory, that's what perpetuates the todos, and that's the evan, that's the av ben echad, that's the continuity, that's the chutim eshulosh, lomer hei yonatek, yes.
I was going to say, even in Mitzrayim, lady lived the longest. So we had the zechus of learning with his grandchildren, whereas the other the other children of Yaakov did not, and they
seemed
strong as
well. Very good. The fact that they were able to sit and learn together.
Excellent. That's two generations, right?
I was saying that Levi was the only one who had the schus to learn even with his grandchildren. So the ones, and that's made obviously something special in the family, and that they had that sense of continuity. But then we have Teferis Bonim Avosa. Rashi continues, Shavasim Tzadikim, that's the Teferis of the Bonim, meaning what? The children want to see that their parents are also going in the right path, that they're acting like Tzadikim, and that's what's going to give them the Nachas as well. That's the famous Gemara and Titus Daf Hey Amud Beis. The Gemara, Meiri cites the Gemara, that the person who gained from the fruits of a tree, he wanted to give a bracha to the tree before he left. He saw the tree in the middle of the oasis. What did he say? Ilan, Ilan. We all know the son, Bama Recha. And the whole idea was that your payers should be just like you and you should produce future trees. And where does that Gemara come in Maseches Tainis? Right on the heels of the famous Gemara, the Drasha of Rabbi Yochanan, that Yaakov ino lo meis, Yaakov never died. Well, how do we know that Yaakov never died? Because it compares him to his children, where the Bnei Yisrael, and the Gemara cites a pasuk, Mazaru b'chayim, afu b'chayim, just as his children, Bnei Yisrael, as a nation, go on forever, Yaakov the ancestor goes on forever. That's Yaakov, that's the Bnei Yisrael. What's the next Gemara? Ilan, ilan, bama recha. You take the payers, and what do? It's a constant cycle. It's a constant rebirth. You take the seeds, even when the first Ilan even dies, what do? You take the seeds, and you make a new Ilan. It's a constant rebirth, a constant regrowth of what? Of the DNA, of the potential of the same original tree. That's the grandchildren. That's the connection of the Elon Befrat. And what is a person compared to? Pasuk and Pasha Shofte. Ki Adam Eitz Hasada. Even when the Eitz dies, but you take the pears, you take the seeds, and you plant the new ones. And that gives a rebirth to the koach, the potential of the original tree. So to Yaakov, even if he's no longer with us, as long as the children are here, Yaakovino continues. Now we take a look at the Metzudas David. Metzudas David says, "Bnei Bonim, af bnei abonim yisimu matoro l'rosh l'sfar behem, im hagunim heim, only if they behave. Aval abonim, ein darkim kim l'sfar b'avosam." And Metzudas David is addressing one of the questions we pointed out. If the grandparents get a lot of nachas by watching their grandchildren, then why don't the grandchildren get the same nachas by watching their grandparents? Now, why is that glory and splendor stop at the parents? He says, because it's not commonly spire except by avosam. Why? Ki yosim uchayavim mekvod aviyim, mekvod avi aviyim, ulaze ikra atiferes bi aviyim. In the end of the day, they're not as obligated. A grandson, a grandchild, does have a chiyuv, an obligation, the Rama writes, in Yerodea, in Hilchos Kibud Av Ha'eiv, and one has an obligation to honor one's grandparents, but it's not at all the same category as honoring one's parents. The primary obligation is to honor one's parents. So what are they looking at? They're always looking at the parents. They're interacting more with the parents. When are they getting the glory? When they see their parents, how are their parents, baby? That's the one who's receiving their primary covet. That's where their attention is focused. So by them, the real glory and splendor goes to the parents and not to the grandparents. That's in Mitzvah Nisgavim. The Rabbag adds another kenach, adds another dimension. He talks about the Ava. Writes the Rabbag, Atar Zakenim, Ki Ava Hadim Yonit Timoshech Aleim Ach Einin Yenkeim Ba'avas. Why? Why do we find that grandparents love their children very often more than the grandchildren love the grandparents? When it comes to the Ava and the fact that grandkids, they're busy with their iPhones, they're busy with their games, the sports, so of course they love the grandparents, but they don't love the grandparents to the same degree, and that's why a terrace, the crown, is when there's a kingdom look and see their B'nai Bonim, but the young children were there, the Bonim, the first Bonim of Osam, they don't go all the way up to the grandparents the same level, so therefore Shlomo made the focus on their parents and not the grandparents. But the Shevet Yehuda understands that it's that idea of the grandparents seeing the hemshich, so the grandchildren are not always focusing on that. The grandparents, as they get older, same way the grandson approached his elderly Bubby one day and said, "Bubby, why are you saying Tehillim all day? Why are you learning Tanakh all day?" She says, "I'm studying for the final exam. I got a cram before the final exam." So as the person gets older, they're seeing the hemshech, they're seeing their continuity, and the grandchildren don't share that same perspective. They're looking at whom they have to honor, who with whom they're spending the bulk of their time, and therefore Teferes Bonim Avosam. So now we get to the other question then. Why is the first way around a crown And the other way around is the first writes of Ben Machai in his commentary on the Torah in the beginning of Parshas told us, a slithering glory is something that's not as concrete. You might say, what does it mean as the Pharis? There's a glory, a nice slither, it's not as tangible. A crown makes it tangible. When we got the Torah, what is the Torah called? Teferis Torah. Yaakov is Midas Teferis. We got the Torah now Sinai. We now got the first. There was an aura. There's an aura of Torah that's Makifos. And we got a glory. We got a splendor. That's something that's not tangible. It's invisible. It's something, it's like a chain. It's a Midas Teferis. But then the Gemara says in Shabbos Pechesem and Aleph, when we said Nasa Benishma, the Malachi Eliyahu came down and they actually placed a crown upon our heads. That makes it concrete. You can have people who act like kings, but to be crowned, and that's a whole new madriga. To have Midas Teferis, that's one thing, but to have a crown atop your head, that's a whole different madriga, right? Shavayna Machai, and that's when it's tangible. Teres HaKenim and Ebonid, of course they get glory, but by them, it's a higher madriga, right? Shavayna Machai, by them they see it as if they have an actual crown on top of their heads. The children, they don't see when they have the great parents, they don't see the crown, but they see the Midas Teferis, they see the glory, they see the splendor. Similar to Rabbeinu Machai, that our Teres is on a higher madriga than Teferis, writes the Vilna Gaon as follows. Per shemesparim abonim ubalas. The glory that children get when they have great parents. Now you have to keep in mind, the Chai Odom writes, that there's an obligation when it comes to Kibbutz Aveim, and not just in Maisa, that you have to honor them and respect them. Not just in Dibur, that you have to speak nicely to them, you can't argue with them, etc. And b'machshava, what does it mean, b'machshava? You have to believe that your parents are the greatest parents in the world for you. You have to believe that. In your heart of hearts, 24/7, 365, ask my mom. I have to, every second of the day you have to be thinking that. So that's why Esau. We know that Esau was the prototype, or was the quintessential Machabit, his father. And yet, as Yerushalmi in the Dorim, Paragim Allah Chesed says, in the future, Esau is going to wear the clothes. We know every time he went to serve his father, he donned big day machas, royal guard. And he went in front of Esau, and Yitzhak, his father, and he served him as if he was treating royalty. That's the honor that he had for his father. And yet what happens? Hashem comes along, he puts on that clothing in Gan Eden, and he sits boldly and brazenly amongst the tzaddikim. Hashem says, Esav, what are you doing in Gan Eden? Esav says, what do you mean, Hashem? I didn't want my mitzvah b'shleimus. The Medrash Rabbah says, and Parshas told us, Amar Rav Shimon Leo, Kol Yom Yisi Mechamidus Avi, all my days I saw my father-in-law Echan and Meo, Mimashe Kibbut Esav as Yitzhak Av, and it wasn't even 1/100th of the Kibbut Av that Esav gave to his father Yitzhak. And we know that Yitzhak loved him. He might have deceived him a little bit, but he loved him, and he came with the royalty, royal garb every single time. So Hashem says, yeah. But what does the Pasuk say on the heels of Yaakov stealing the brachas from Esav? It says, Vayomer Esav Olibo, Yikaravu Yameyav Olavi Vahargas Yaakov Ochi. And the Mepharshim explain, he knew that he couldn't kill his brother Yaakov as long as his precious father was alive. But inside, he was hoping what his hatred for Yaakov was such. He detested him to the point that however much he loved and revered his father, there was a part of Esau that in Machshava, he was hoping his father would die sooner, because only then could he be able to kill his brother Yaakov. Writes the Yerushalmi, that Hashem takes him out of Gan Eden and throws him down to Gan Eden and says he didn't even do that one mitzvah b'shleimus. Why didn't he do it b'shleimus? He did it b'maisa, and he did it b'dibor, kitzai b'fiv, but in Machshava, he was hoping that his father would die. And that's not keeping up. To be hoping that your parents would pass away sooner, that wasn't keeping up. And since he didn't fulfill it, Bishle Musa and Machshava as well, that's why he was thrown out of Gan Eden, cast into Gehenna. It's got to be in all these areas. So it's not an Ateres. Ateres is, writes the Vilna Gaon. Now what is a crown? A crown is something that's physical, that protects. A crown shields the top of the head. That adds an element to protection. Meaning what? It's not only an extra level of glory, because it's one thing to have an invisible, a non-tangible glory and splendor. But when you have a crown, the crown is also protecting at the top of the head. Writes the Vilna Gaon, the schus of producing grandchildren, children and grandchildren, that's a protection for the parents. That when the parents get up to Shemayim, and whatever their cheshbon is, and based on Shemayim law, but if you produce, and we see, oh, but look, you have Shomer Shammah's children, you have Shomer Shammah's grandchildren, look at their children, look at whom you produce, and that's going to be protection for the parents. But it doesn't work the other way around. The parents are not the protection for the children. Not in the Olam HaEmes. It's about what you produced, what you gave over. It's about seeing the person you have created. Inside them, there's a piece of you, but that level of protection is not there. The children are protecting the parents, but the parents are not protecting the children. Therefore, it stops at Teferis, but there's a Canaan. It's not only a Teferis, it's a crowning glory. It's a Teferis. And what's going to be in the future? Teferis, Teferis, Lamuse, Botan. In the future, we're going to see the two of them come together. And that's the idea of Yaakov uniting with David. Yaakov is Midas Teferis. David is Midas Malchus, where you don the Atara. And that's going to be the union of Teferis and Malchus in the future. But that'll be for another time. Yes?
Yeah, I have a problem with the parents don't protect the children. What about Zchus Avos and...
So that's here in this world. But not the Vilna Gaon's talking more about the next world. And the next world, if a parent wasn't such a good person, let's say, but part of their din b'cheshen is, yeah, but look at the children that you produce. And it's going to be a tremendous schus and protect them from Gehenim, from any harsh punishment, because it's a tremendous schus. Look at who you raised. But the child, if the child did something bad, he can't say, yeah, but look at my parents. The schus of us here in this world. So Hashem might give them great things here in this world, but they can't use the parents. What do they do to the parents? They didn't produce the parents. So that level of protection, loss of level, only works one way.
But don't we always say, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, those are our parents and their parents.
In this world, that's the whole idea. In this world, we have a protection. We have Schoselos, which gives us special things. Plus, we do have a Midrashic. They on their own, meaning we can't invoke. When we get to the Olam Emes, we can't say, but Hashem, but my grandfather was Avram, but look at my Zaydi. What is it? You had nothing to do with that. They were your Zaydi. They were here because that's who they were. But your parents and grandparents could say, yeah, but look what I produced. And they produced it. But you have Chazals that say Avram Avinu stands by the entrance to Gehenim, and anyone who has a Bris Milah, Avram Avinu plucks them out of Gehenim and throws them into Gan Eden. So they could decide of their own volition to take action and go ahead and protect. But it doesn't mean...
Women?
It takes women out. Women have a special zechus. The Gemara says that a woman command the mi'alei dami. It's as if they already have a bris milah. So it could be that Sora is right there pulling the woman out. But they can of their own volition decide to give that protection. Onwards we go to Pasuk Zayin. Hello, and Nava Lenova Sfas Yeser. Nava is, it's not becoming for Novel. A Novel Rosh Torah is a degraded, despicable type of person. Lavan always tried to portray himself as Lavan, I'm pure, I'm pristine, I'm white. And what was Lavan's essence? He was really intermingled the letters Lavan was a Novel. He was really a novel, disgraced, despicable person. He portrayed himself Lavan in the outside, but in the inside he was also a Novel. So, a disgraced person should not have sfas yeser. What is sfas yeser? Harashi says, divrei gaiva. A lowly, degraded person, he shouldn't be about gaiva. He has nothing to be about gaiva about. Af ki lenodiv sfas shaker. And what is af a kavachomer? Kol shekein. And surely, a nodiv, who is not only a giving person, but a noble person, the opposite of a degraded person, a nodiv, nedivei am, the nobility. Sarah was called Yiska, Loshen Nisichut, aristocracy, nobility. She was married to Avram, who was called the Nedivei Am. Nedivei Am in Asafu. And Nediv is a noble person, a noble aristocratic individual. Surely then, we want to hammer the point home that a noble aristocratic person should not go in and fall prey to Sfasheker, to lies and to falsehood. Rashi says, Kol Shekein Shalona, Sfasheker, Lenodiv, to stay as far away from Sheker as possible, and to not go in and speak Sheker. So I mentioned, just recently, to Chabura, a true story, I mentioned this in a Pirkei Avos recently. Story took place a little over a week ago. Reb Chaim Kanevsky, true story, had a great grandson's bar mitzvah. We just talked about Toldos. Not only a grandson, great grandson. In fact, the Leket Yosha, the Talmud of the Torah Sedition, says there are different rishchos that if a grandparent is a sonic at a great grandson's bris, that's one nusach. But the more accepted nusach is, if a grandparent is a sonic at a great-great-grandson's bris, five generations, writes the Leket Yosha, quoting his Rebbe, the Tumas Sedition, one of the greatest of the Rishonim, Alo Yira Pnei Gehen. He has a direct route into Gan Eden. That's a simon. If you can be a sonic at a great-great-grandson's bris, and you go right to Gan Eden, you don't even have to see the entrance to Gehenna. So there's a true story, Rabbi Yosef, who was in Yerushalayim, who barely ever left Yerushalayim. He never left Eretz Yisrael, and he only left Yerushalayim a few rare times in his life. And there's 100 plus years. He had a great, great grandson's bris, and they invited Rabbi Yosef to be a tzaddik at the great, great grandson's bris. He says, no, he says, Baruch Hashem, he has parents, grandparents, great, great, he says, I can't go, it's bitter Torah to me. It was a big tirach also. He was already around 100 years old. He says, it's too taxing on me, and it's going to take away too much time for learning. They said, Rabbi Yosef, the famous Truma Sadeshe, if you're the tzaddik at your great, great grandson's bris, you're not going to see, you're going to go right to Gan Eden. He says, I hope I could go in through my Torah through the front entrance and not the back entrance. I don't want to go in piggybacking on a segula. I want to go in for my Torah and my mitzvahs. I want to go in the regular path. I don't want to have to rely on the skulos in order to get it. Akoponu here, Rav Chaim Kanevsky was at the bar mitzvah of his great grandson. So the great grandson said, Zaydi, I want a bracha. So what do you think a bracha Rav Chaim gave him was? You should be zocha to become a tremendous tamachochem at the finish. Kola Torah kula benigla ubenister. The reveal that is hidden in the Torah, I'm giving you a bracha, you should finish the entire Torah. So if Eliyahu Mann, who is a charusa and a close chaver of Rav Chaim Kanevsky, he said to Rav Chaim, this is recorded, it's on a video, he said to him that he went to another one of the Gedolei Ador, Rabbanu Leif Shteinman, and he asked Rabbanu Leif for a bracha for his great-grandson's bar mitzvah. Rabbanu Leif said, I give him a bracha, that he should always be an ish emes. He should be an ish emes. So when Rav Chaim heard that, he smiled. That his great-grandson got a bracha from Rabbanu Leib that his great-grandson should be an Hashemus. And Rav Eliyahu Mann didn't stop there. He said, Rebbe, he turns to Rav Chaim, he says, which one is harder? To be an Hashemus or to finish Kola Torah Kula V'nigla Ubenister? Shas Bavli Yerushalmi Tanach Mechilta Sefra Sefri All the Ikari Shonim Kabbalah the Zohar Kaddish, which one's harder? And Rav Chaim smiled and said, it's harder to become an Hashemus than it is to finish the entirety of the Torah. To not have any white lies, to not go ahead and ever lie bechlal, that's not right for another. If you're a truly noble aristocratic person, you will never have Shekel the Chazon Ish attributed. And one of the reasons when they asked him, how did you become the Chazon Ish? He says, you know, again, it was his hasmada and his kochas, but he said a lot of it has to do with the way that he was raised. He was always shomer atzmo b'kedusha b'taro, and he always made sure to be in a level of kedusha and taro. And he said he was very makbin, never to be motzi sheker mipu, never to ever utter a word of sheker. In fact, in his collection of letters, he writes that including sheker is embellishing stories. You got to make sure not to throw facts into stories if they're not 100% true. That's distancing yourself from Sfas Sheker. So not only is it not befitting, not becoming, for Neville, have words of gaiba, there's nothing to be a gaiba about. Other Rishonim explain, no, it's a lofty, elevated speech. That's not fitting for the greater person, because Kol HaDibur highlights the essence of a person. Better that he doesn't speak, he doesn't talk too much, he doesn't highlight his foolishness and idiocy to those around him. But Kavachomer Kol Shekein, the Nodav has to make sure to distance himself from Sfas Sheker. The Vilna Gaon learns, not only distancing yourself from Sheker, but the real Nodiv, the real noble person, should make sure not to speak that much, even if it's MS, and certainly not to have any Sfas Sheker, not to have anything that resonates, any sense of falsehood whatsoever. We know Rav Shimon at the end of Pirkei Avos, Pirkei Aleph, Kol Yomei Gadalti Bein HaChachamim, V'lo Matzasi L'Guf Tov Mishtika or L'Guf Tov Ela Shtika, different Gersos in the Mishnah, but silence often is the best policy, and that's an Edivayam. Someone is truly aristocratic and knows only to speak when he or she absolutely needs to do so. Continuing on, back to the idea of a charm and connected to stone, interestingly enough. Evan Chayn, a charming stone, a charming diamond, a charming gem, is what? Is a shochar b'ini ba'alov. Is, we're talking now on the heels of Sheker. We just talked about the idea of MS. Another stays away from Sheker. That is the midah of Yaakov, the midah of MS. Yaakov is Micha, Perkzayin, Pasachov, Titein, MS, the Yaakov. The Chesed the Avram, Yaakov is Emes and Yaakov is Teferis. The true glory and splendor is when you're connected to the Torah and when you are connected to Teferis and connected to Emes. That's all the meat of Yaakovinu. Hence, we went right into what? Another of a truly aristocratic person stays away from Sheker, stays away from anything to do with falsehood, and that's Yaakovinu. And then Chena Shochabene Balav, and what's the expression of falsehood? When you take a bribe, and you give a bribe to a recipient, to a judge, and that's like a charming gem in the eyes of its owner, that he's going to succeed whatever he directs his attention towards. Obviously, in a negative sense, look at the power of a bribe. Bribes mess it up, and again, it's not just a monetary bribe. It can be any type of bribe, anything that's along the lines of a bribe. But that's how the Rishonim understand what's going on here. We're actually talking in such a sense of giving bribes. But of course, it doesn't just mean bribes to judges or people litigating a case. It means to the ultimate judge. Who's the ultimate judge? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Alright, Rashi. Evan Chank, Shalom Malafnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rashi understands in a world of Derush, not like the Mitzvot Dovin and Ibn Ezra. Rashi understands, and a person comes in for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Omefaisu V'Dvar Meshavlo, and you want to appease Hashem? In a positive sense, understands Rashi, appease Hashem by repenting sincerely and wholeheartedly, and that's Evan Chino Margolios Ibeinov, and that's going to be a charming stone. What does Hashem appreciate more than anything in the world? When you come back to be Mephiasim, to go ahead and soothe him. Thank you very much.
You have to let it cool.
And appease him. Okay. Thank you very much. That is the greatest stone and the greatest gem and the eyes of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And Kol HaShayif Ne'yaskel, and then Rashi says, V'chom HaShayivakish Menem Atzlicha, Hashem is going to give you Atzlicha. If you show Hashem you want to come back, if you show Hashem you want to give Him the jewels of your Torah, of your Tshuva, of your Tefillah, those are the most precious gems in the eyes of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and that's how a person is going to be successful. However, the Malbim, like the Mitzvot Dovah, they understand, oh, this is a reference in a basic sense, of a negative sense of bribing judges and bribing other people, writes the Malbim. What's the idea? Idea is that you stop preparing. A person who gives a bribe to someone starts relying on the segula of the Evan that it's going to be Motzei Chen Ve'enei, the recipient, and therefore you're not even going to prepare for the case. Someone who bribes a judge says, I don't even have to prepare a good case because in the end of the day, I already bribed the person beforehand. Famous mice of somebody he didn't bother preparing because he went and he paid the judge off and he gave the judge $1,000 and he figured the judge was going to rule in his favor. All of a sudden, the judge doesn't rule in his favor and he didn't present a good case and he doesn't know what's going on. He goes to the judge. He says, well, I gave you $1,000. He says, yeah, but the guy you were arguing against gave me $1,200.
This wasn't
dope. This is perfect. Perfect. So in the end of the day, bribing is obviously a negative thing, and that has to do with sfasheker, and that has to do with falsehood. Continuing an idea of falsehood concept, mechase peshem evake shava. Now let's say someone did falsehood to you. Let's say someone did an act of harm, or did something wronged you in any way, shape, or form. If you're going to be machasit, let's say someone did an act of sheker towards you, and you're going to willingly say, you know what, I'm going to conceal it, I'm going to cover it over, that's a person who's mavake shava. That means that you really want to go ahead and love that person, you want to stay connected to that person. But b'shona b'davar, shona means, shona is to chaser, to review, to harp on it. You're going to keep coming back to it, and you're going to keep complaining about what that person did to you, and how that person deceived you. That's mafred olov. Then it's going to do what? It's going to alienate, it's going to separate not only your friends, but even the rulers. Some understand political leaders. Rashi's going to say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Others understand. Somebody showed him that's the idea of friendship. Friendship is, you're going to destroy friendships if you're going to harp on the evils. Meaning what? As we showed him explain, everybody makes mistakes. And Dale Carnegie starts as how to win friends and influence people. Don't criticize, condemn, or complain. If you're someone who's seeking out in a relationship, and you have to know how to cover over a wrong that was perpetrated against you. You have to know how to conceal the wrongdoing. There are people that will make mistakes. They might do a shochan against you. They might pay off a friend to do something bad to you. They might go ahead and do a sheker to deceive you. Whatever they might do, but if you can willingly be machasa, that pesha. If you can go in and cover it over, make it as if it never happened. Mavake shava. And that says that you really want to have a loving relationship, you are willing to forgive. All right, Rashi. And you learn to go in and make up, and you don't keep reminding that person of the mistake, and you don't continuously show and express an angry face towards that person, Gorim lo sheyevosu, then you cause that the person's going to love you. The way a person's going to see, what's the real test of friendship? When the friendship was tested. When one party makes a mistake and wrongs the other party, and you're able to make up, that's an everlasting friendship. Vilna Gaon writes in the Sidur Agro, Hashem is what? Atzav v'chavtan mikolama, we just said in the davening, and the Nusach of Sholosh Regolim Shmon Esrei. Atzav v'chavtan means Hashem chose us from amongst all the nations of the world. Ahavtosanu, He loved us, but what's the greater level of Ava? Aviratzi Sabanu. Aviratzi Sabanu says it's Ava plus, writes the Vilna Gaon, because that's a reference after Chet Egel. If we sin against Hashem, and what do? We did Sheker, we worshipped another foreign God, and still Hashem took us back, and still He loved us, and that's the true test. And it says Hashem loves us forever. He's willing to go ahead and cover over and not keep reminding us of the sins that we did. And that's it. He also, in a regular personal friendship, not to keep reminding that friend of the wrongdoing that was perpetrated against you.
Rabbi, when Adam and Chava sinned,
when
Hashem did,
He
covered them over.
Oh, excellent. Excellent. Covered over. Excellent idea. Cover over the levush, lobosh, to cover over that embarrassment. Excellent point. Beautiful. Machas pesha, and that's mevake shava. Have a shown him a double. Rashi says, if you hold a grudge, shenoter evo maskiro kach vekach hasisali mi'ah. Remember what you did to me. Remember the bad things you did. If you're always reminding that person, and you're bearing a grudge, that shows that you haven't really wanted to renew that love and that ritzoy between two friends. And that's a violation of Los Sikim and Los Sitar. I mentioned in the past that I was in a chabura years ago, and Moshe Eisenman, the Mashkiach in Yisrael, he threw out, he said, what's the hardest mitzvah to keep in the entire Torah? And he said that for him, he feels the hardest mitzvah to keep is Los Sitar, never to hold a grudge. How sweet is revenge? And to go ahead and make sure that whenever someone does anything bad to you, you're going to put it out of your memory, as the Chovas HaLevavos writes, Rabbeinu Chaim Lekuda says, you have to put it out of your memory and say, that person was a shliach. I was supposed to receive that harm. They were just the messenger to relay that harm to me. But it's not because they're a bad person. Put it out of sight and out of mind. And that is the ultimate way to stay connected to one another and to stay connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And finally, Pasuk Yud, with this we'll close today. Techas Gaara B'Mavin. Someone who's a Mavin, who understands, who's a truly understanding, knowledgeable person. Gaara, which is rebuke, Tochach and chastisement. Techas is going to go ahead and do its purpose. It's going to frighten. It's a lashon of frightening, and that's going to do more. Me'akos k'sil me'a. Than taking a fool and hitting a fool 100 times. In the end of the day, you can have a fool who's not interested in hearing any rebuke and not interested in hearing anything. Meaning what? Again, right in the heels of what we just said. This means if somebody wronged you, don't go in and keep reminding them of the past. Don't say, oh, remember you did this to me. Try and be masalik it from your das, put it out of sight, out of heart, out of mind. But it doesn't mean that there's not a time and a place to give tochocha. That means what? I'm giving tochocha because I want to go in and put you on the right path. I want to renew the relationship. There is a time for proper constructive criticism. Not the complaining, not the reminding the person of the past action, not stomp to make the person feel bad, but just to put them on the right path to give constructive criticism. But who is going to appreciate constructive criticism? Only a maven. Only a truly understanding person will receive it, and that constructive criticism, that word of positive chastisement, will be good and received by the true chacham and maven, and it will frighten that person. They want to do the right thing, but that's going to serve its purpose. If you have someone who's foolish and someone who's not interested in hearing it, you can hit them 100 times over the head and they're still not going to get the wake-up call. It's not going to do its purpose. And that's what Rashi says. In the end of the day, a person who is understanding and he'll be machnia, he'll be subservient to the one giving that rebuke, and that's going to accomplish far more than hitting the foolish person 100 times. And that's the idea. To know when to, what's the first step? The first step that when somebody wronged you, to go in and say, I don't want to go ahead and destroy the relationship. On the contrary, I want to maintain the relationship. I'm going to conceal it. I'm not going to bear a grudge, but I don't want it to happen again. So what do? Then you give a gaara. You give an active chastisement of constructive criticism to say, what can we do? What can you do that this action will never repeat itself? Because what? Because I care about you, not just because I care about me. And I mentioned that story. I have a friend of mine in Baltimore years ago, and he was talking in shul. And there was a person sitting near him, and the person kept shushing him the whole time. And the shush just kept getting louder until he started embarrassing him. Everybody started looking. Who's the recipient of this man shushing? And finally he went over to this man and he says, let me ask you a question. He says, do you really care about me? He says, if you really care about me, then you're going to come over and quietly say to me, how about improving yourself and improving your davening and not talking? But instead, you don't care about me. You just care about you. You care about you that I'm disturbing your davening, but you don't care about me when I oda. It's that what you're upset at me that I'm messing up your davening. But what about caring about me? The idea is when someone perpetrates an act against you, you have to have that money be talking to say, this act would not have happened unless Hashem wants it to happen. Gemara Chulin Daf Zayin, nothing bad happens. Elam Kein Machris and Olam Ilam Alam. Must be that it was meant to come my way. But you did something bad, but I care about you. So I want you to become the best person that you can be, and the right time, the right place, quietly, I'm going to give you some constructive criticism, not because of I'm holding a grudge, not bearing a grudge at all, because I want you to become the biggest and best person that you can be, and that is the idea of knowing how to conceal. That's right enough, totally Amsterdam. And with this, we'll close. The Talmud Milbach, Rabbi Saul Salanter, as he writes in the Sefer Or HaMusar, all right, so totally Amsterdam, he says, fascinatingly, what's the best way to reconnect with somebody if there's a grudge, if there's some hard feelings in between? He says, go out and buy that person a present. The last person in the world you'd ever want to get a present for, if you really care about renewing the relationship, say, and not only those sikkim, those sita, they're not going to bear a grudge, I'm going to go out and I'm going to buy them something that they want to have. And it takes a lot of courage and a lot of strength, but to go out and to buy that card, and to buy the stuffed animal, to buy that ice cream, to buy that gift, and to give them that gift, and so what, getting it for me? To say, because the relationship matters more. The ava matters more than who's right and who's wrong. And that takes us back to a story that I mentioned a while back, that the Tzemach Tzedek, one of the previous Lubavitcher Rebbes, said, why is it, and this takes us right back to the pasuk we started with today, our grandparents and grandchildren, parents and children, why do you find that so many times there'll be parents, people will not speak in families. Why? Because parents, people will hold grudges. People hold grudges. And yet what? How many times can you have a child and the parent could do something bad to the child and the parent says, you're the worst daddy in the whole world. You're the worst mommy in the whole world. And then what happens? You buy them their favorite ice cream cone. You say, let's go out for pizza. Let's go out bowling. You give them a candy. And all of a sudden, 2 seconds later, you're the best mommy, the best daddy in the whole world. The grandparents love, the grandchildren love, and in the end of the day, the grandparents, they know they'll get all the candies. They get all the, whatever they want, they'll get it from the grandparents. What happens? And yet, if a child wrongs a parent, they might bear the grudge for years. Why? Explain the Tzemach David, the Tzemach Tzedek from the Lubavitch. Because children care more about being happy than being right. And adults care more about being right than being happy. And better to go ahead and bear the grudge and not forget the wrong that was done by the children, whatever it is, because they got to be right. Adults have to be right. But children, no. Isn't it more, could I get the kind of candy, get the ice cream? So what? Let the parents and let them be right. Who cares who's right and wrong? If they're more interested in being happy, and in families where people don't speak, they're never fully happy. And at the end of the day, it's much more satisfying in life to overcome the grudge, overcome the wrongdoing, and say, it's still more important to be happy than to be right. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to see. And the way that we judge other people is the way Hashem's going to judge us after 120. If we look the other way and we say, I'm not going to bear a grudge, I'm not going to go in and complain, then as Ritzel of Petterberger told us, when we get up to Shemayim, Hashem says, you look the other way, when I start counting up your Averis, you know what? I act towards you the way you acted towards others. If you look the other way, I'm going to look the other way as well, and I will be forgiving to you. Have a wonderful day and a great week up ahead of us.
Thank you so much.
You too.